Number 278, verses 1 and 3. 278, 1 and 3. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the house of the Lord. It's so good to be back together, and especially those who haven't been feeling well and can return to us. And we especially want to keep in prayer those who continue to be suffering under the affliction of these terrible viruses that are going around. And just thankfully, the Lord will heal. We are thankful. And Brother Harry said that it's the first Sunday of 2025, believe it or not. The Lord tarries, and he is patient with his children and provides so richly for us yet today at this time. Psalm 139, 9 and 10 say this: "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea," did I say uppermost? I mean uttermost parts of the sea. "Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." So our prayer in 2025 is knowing that God is ubiquitous and he is ever present with us, and that he would lead us and hold us tight through the ups and downs and all that's yet to come in this year ahead. I want to welcome all those on Zoom, and we want to ask for greetings at this time.
Alexis and John are not well, if they want to be
remembered. Okay, yes, Alexis and John are not well. What do you remember?
Cheryl sends her greetings.
Cheryl sends her greetings. Is not feeling well. I spoke. Spoke to Brother Frank, and please keep Brother Frank and Sister Chris in prayer. Send their greetings, but they're still afflicted by this virus. Anyone else? All righty. Well, just a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, Lord willing, as we all know, would be communion service in the afternoon for members of the fellowship. And we just pray that we would all keep this in prayer, this coming week, especially as we anticipate the beauty of the fellowship of the bread and the wine as symbolic of Jesus' broken body and shed blood for us, and prepare appropriately for that. And then in 2 weeks, Sunday the 26th, we'll have a membership meeting after lunch in church. Also next week will be our collection, our monthly collection for New Hope. I guess it's really bi-monthly at this point, right, is what we're doing. Yeah, and so it's a New Hope collection, so please provide as the Lord would direct you for that. And today we were anticipating a prayer service, but I think we'll do a song service instead. We are few in number, and there are even fewer brothers to participate in the prayer service, so I think we will have a beautiful time of singing together after lunch. Is there anything else I may have forgotten? So if not, please pray for Brother Phil as he brings God's word to us, and let us unite our hearts in singing number 63, verses 1 and 3, Thy word, O Lord, draws us together. Hymn number 63.
Good morning. Thanks as always in advance for your prayers. Let's begin with a corporate prayer. Heavenly Father, how blessed are we whom God doth love. Lord, we are truly, truly blessed to know you as Lord, as Savior, as Redeemer, to understand the truths of your word, to have a glimpse of who you are through your word, to have your spirit live within us. Lord, we are so blessed to have Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, who we know died for us and rose again and gives us power and gives us new life and gives us eternal life. And gives us adoption into the eternal family, to our Heavenly Father, that we can call you Abba Father. Lord, we are blessed beyond measure. The things of this earth don't matter if the things that last forever, it is the things of your, who you are, that matter. And Lord, we just are honored and praise your name for being selected, being chosen as your children. We thank you for your love for us, for your infinite love. We thank you for your majesty and your glory, for your power and your judgment, and for your mercy, and for coming and living and dying. You are so amazing. Words can't express. And we need to have this perspective in all aspects of our lives at all times. And we pray that we would live this out, an understanding, a deep understanding as far as we can grasp of who you are and how much you love us and what you've done for us. And then to share that with others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we have. May these lips of clay speak words that you utter, that you have uttered, and that you will continue to utter. We just thank you and praise you and pray that your word would be the power of this message. We praise you and thank you. And we pray for our loved ones who aren't feeling well especially. We're mindful of those who aren't feeling good and mindful of those who have been injured. Little Lily Shurins, and pray for travel mercies on traveling for those who would travel, especially the Shurins family, that they could come visit us. We just pray for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for this time now that we have together. And pray for each one that is here and those that are listening online, that they would have a heart to know you better and a heart to draw closer to you. Not only when we're here, but Lord, on a daily walk, to love you and serve you and to be drawn to you and commune with you. This is our heart's desire. And we praise you and thank you that you've made that possible. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Having just come through the Christmas season, and Christmas hymns fresh in our mind, I thought I'd start with a little quiz. I'm going to read a line from a hymn, Christmas hymn, and if you can tell me what song it's from. And to the earth it gave great light. No, strike one. No, strike two. And to the earth it gave great light. Very good. She knows my singing. The first Noel. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Not one we sing as often.
Jesus wrote Richard's
book. Yes, that's what it was about. These are lines from songs. We're trying to figure out what song it is. Very good. Go tell it on the mountain. There you go. All right. One out of three so far you are. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming. You'll get there. There you go. Oh, holy night. You're almost there. You're almost to the corner. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Okay, that's clear. In the dark streets of Bethlehem shineth the everlasting light. Son of God loves pure light. Night. Light and life to all he brings. Heart to heart. Very good. Anyone sense a theme in all those lines I said? You were thinking too much of where they came from. The note was, each one had light in it. Light. Light is a common theme in much of the Christmas story, in the shining light of the star, in the brightness of the angels that sang to the shepherds. but all those actually pale in comparison to the true light of Christmas, which is in fact Jesus Christ himself. Light and life to all he brings. With that in mind, I'd like to read from John chapter 1. And there's lots of scriptures I could have read that talk about the light of Jesus. But I'm going to read John chapter 1. Not all of it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I've read through verse 14. This chapter ties directly to Genesis chapter 1 of all creation. In the beginning, they start in the same way, in the beginning. And in the beginning, the very first thing that was created in verse 3 of Genesis 1 was light. Light was the first thing God created. Now we can note that the sun was only created in day 3 or 4, so there was light, brightness about God, and the sun didn't even exist yet. So how days and were counted until the sun and earth were all created, we don't understand. That's God's wisdom, but certainly the first thing was created was light. That was, nothing else existed. There was only the Father, and we here see that the Word was with God in the very beginning. So the Word was eternal. We see the Word was made flesh. Clearly, this is speaking of Jesus, and the Spirit. So the Father, Son, and Spirit. So before anything was created, there was the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the Godhead. There was unity, and there was love. Love existed because there was love within the unity and the Godhead, the three in one. But nothing material existed except the first thing created was light. Light has a strong connection to life. Not only as we read here, but even in the physical realm. The sun provides all life out there. I mean, no plant would exist without the sun. It's where it gives, the plants get their energy from the sun and grow and can survive. If the sun were to instantaneously be turned off like a light switch, they say that our planet would be below 0 degrees all over in a week, and obviously everything would die very quickly. It provides our warmth, our energy, our source of food. It provides light, the sun, the S-U-N. There's other aspects of physical light and life, the connection that I just recently read. There's a thing called the zinc spark. Anyone ever heard of the zinc spark? Just learned about this 2 weeks ago. In conception, when a sperm and an egg connect, there's a physical light that occurs. It's obviously microscopic that you can't see, but it is evidence in looking at it, a light occurs. And I just find that so neat that God, from the very beginning of a life being formed, the light is there. There's light there. Obviously, there's scientific reasons for why that happens. It's called zinc. There's zinc in there somehow. But God set that up. God arranged it. God created it. And his presence is there when a life is formed. Light is present. In contrast, darkness is just absence of light. Even in the world, darkness and light have the understanding of, you know, darkness is bad and light is good. Darkness is, being lost and being evil and being confused and, bad. And light is considered good. If you, in movies, the dark scenes, the dark characters, dark backgrounds, and the heroic characters in a bright scene and bright, it's just a common theme among people that darkness is bad, evil, and light is good. When streetlights are installed in urban cities, crime decreases by almost 40% in nighttime crime, nighttime outdoor crime. That's a big drop, 40%, because evil deeds are done in darkness. Sin is done in darkness. It tries to remain hidden. It doesn't want to be shown. And so darkness is where evil occurs. And the way light, as soon as light is comes out, it's like darkness is nothing. There's nothing. It's just absence of light. When light isn't present, there's darkness. So when light is there, the darkness flees. The darkness is gone. The darkness has no power. There's not, if I'm super dark, I can overcome the light. No, the light always overcomes the darkness. Always. A couple years ago, there was a football player, there still is a football player, called Aaron Rodgers. And he was on a different football team, and he went into a darkness retreat in order for him to come to a decision about, what team he should play for. And the darkness retreat is exactly what it sounds like. You for I don't know how long of a period, you go into a place of darkness. And it's supposed to, put you in touch with yourself and put you in tune with making decisions, and your heightened, your awareness becomes heightened. And after he came out of that, he decided he would join the New York Jets. About the same time, I also heard about him in his belief system, in his philosophy. He believes in manifestation. Manifestation is where you take your thoughts and you believe something enough that you can, by your own belief, you can make it happen. By your own strength of will, strength of belief, you see it, you envision it, and that's your goal. And then we talked about goal this morning. What is your goal? And then you envision it, and it happens because you believe so strongly, because you work it and strive for it, and you're focused on something, that it becomes manifest. It becomes into reality. You enable it by your own thoughts. After hearing about the darkness retreat and hearing about this philosophy that I had, I'm like, the Jets are going to be a failure. And certainly, 4 games into his first season, his first game that he played as a Jet, 4 plays in the, he tore his Achilles tendon and was out for the season. And this year, when he's back playing, the Jets have 12 losses and 4 wins and are one of the worst teams in the NFL. Clearly, manifestation did not work for him. His envisioning of, I can make things happen by what I believe and I'm striving, it's not how it works. But the example of darkness in this is not just his darkness retreat, that's, I think, a silliness. But it can lead to, you know, things, if you're trusting in powers that aren't Christ, aren't God, then there's other powers out there, and that darkness can fill your mind. But more important than the darkness retreat is the actual darkness of his belief system. That I can control my own destiny. That I, in essence, by my belief and by how I strive for something and how I can manifest my own reality, you're believing you're God. There is no God if you think I am the God who can control something like that. That's a problem. And that's a mindset that is a mindset in darkness. There's many belief systems out there where the disciples of those belief systems are in spiritual darkness. There's no answer for evil, for sin, and there's no answer for how I can be connected to the real God, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who exists. There's no way to connect with him in those belief systems. And those systems are darkness. You know, even if we have, you know, we talked about this morning, you know, a positive thinking is good. You know, we should have to think positively. We should strive for them, work hard. But if you think that is your efforts and is your focus that is earning them, God is in control. We yield to God. We strive, but we yield to God. And certainly, that is a message that Aaron Rodgers doesn't understand yet. Hopefully he will. John 1:5 says, then this is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light. This is 1 John 1:5. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. God created the physical life. I said in Genesis 1:3, the very first thing by his word, which was through Jesus, the word, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Light was made by God. But here in 1 John it says that God is light. I think the way we put those things together is, as I mentioned, physical light was created by God. But spiritual light has existed from eternity past to eternity forever. Spiritual light, the knowledge of who God is, the revelation of who he is. He is light. His character, his loving kindness, his mercy, his grace, his holiness, he is light. Recall when Moses asked to see God, and God allowed him to see his backside as he passed by. It was bright. It was so bright. It was so bright that Moses, when he came down from the mountain, glowed. Literally glowed. The people said, you need to put a veil over your face. You are glowing. Saul on the way to Damascus was blinded by the light of Jesus Christ coming before him. He's saying, it's hard for me to kick against the pricks. In Revelations 22, it clearly says There'll be no need for the sun or any kind of light, because God will be their light. Those are all physical lights. It was physical light that made Moses glow. It was physical light that Saul saw as he walked to Damascus. It's physical light that they're talking about in Revelation of these, our understanding. How much more so the spiritual light, which is God, which God is light in himself, is more important, is greater, is stronger, is deeper. The presence, the evidence, the who of who God is that light. Is that light that gives life. I mentioned that in creation, physical light gives life. Via the sun, how we receive life. So is there any other source of spiritual life than Jesus? Clearly, it says in verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light. The light that giveth light, says in verse 4. The life was the light of men. Spiritual light is far more powerful, is far more deeper than physical light. When the children of Israel tried to obey the law, they found themselves always falling short. And realizing that sin is always a barrier. There's always something that separates us from God. So when we realize that we can't reach up to God, we can't attain God by our goodness or by our holiness, quote-unquote holiness, that we strive for or may strive for, we can't get to God. God came down to us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came as that light that we needed to have. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell on the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Darkness is in the heart of men. It's our natural state because of humanity, because of sin, because it's been passed on through Adam. We are separated from God because of our sin. And darkness is where we are. But a great light has been shined. And clearly in Isaiah that was prophesied of Jesus coming. That he would come and reveal the light of Christ, the light of the Father. The people had lost their way and treated the law as being what is God in essence. The law was meant to point us to God. It's our focus. Our adoration, our love, our devotion is to God, not on obeying this and that and the other thing. It's God. Those things, obeying those things, should bring us closer to Him, should align us with the character and nature of God. And yet it was deceived by the people to use as a tool against others, to hold people to standards and adding to the law and creating a realm of hierarchy. And it was really twisted. And so religion can be one of those things that is spiritual darkness. You know, people say, what religion are you? Well, I'm an apostolic Christian, whatever. I'm a believer, we need to be careful that we don't say religion. This is a religion. It's not religion. It's a relationship with God. It's Him who gave Himself for us that we could know the Father, that through Him we can have access and have a relationship with God that no one else could apart from through Jesus. So even us as Bible believing as we need to be careful we're not religious, but we are godly through Jesus Christ. That we are in love with and in relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. People who don't recognize God as God or recognize Jesus as the only mediator between God and man walk in darkness. They did then, they do today, and forever. If you don't recognize who God is and that Jesus is the only way to reach Him, then you're in darkness. Hebrews 1:1-3 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, who Jesus being the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ, the image of God on earth before us, not before us, but in Scripture we see before them, and in our mind's eye we know before us, and is, as it was for Paul, who didn't see Him personally, but saw the bright light of who He was, recognizing this is the Savior, this is the Redeemer. Then Jesus, John 8:12, then spake Jesus again and said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Clearly, in the whole book of John, the connection of light, of revelation of Jesus come down, and of that life-giving power that He brings, is all connected. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what does that mean, that He is the light of the world? The light is this in John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The light is the truth. The truth is only through Jesus can we have access, can we have adoption into being a child of God. And how do we accept that light? How do we just believe on His name? And then He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me, obedient to what Jesus taught, obedient to His word, obedient to what He told us is the most important things. To love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. These are the things that is light unto ourselves, unto all people, not just ourselves, unto everyone. And not just life here and now. In John 10:10, I think it says, I come to bring life and life more abundantly. How does that mean? Life is life, but life more abundantly means that next level of life, the life that is eternal, life more abundantly, life eternal. Life eternal starts here, starts now when we know the Lord. Do you ever have house plants near a window and do you notice what those plants do? If they're near a window, do you ever see them? The windows here, they start leaning. If you rotate the plant around, it's leaning this way. Within a few days, it's going to go back toward the window again. The plant knows the source of its energy, the source of what gives it its life. As children of the King, who receive power from the Son, do we strain toward that light? Or are we distracted by many distractions of this world? Many strange ideas of striving for other things, of striving for our own goodness, of striving for our own well-being, of making plans for my future, of being distracted by silly things, sometimes not even evil things, but just distractions. Or do we strive? Are we straining as the plant does, straining to be near the Son? Do we strain to read God's Word? Do we strive? Is it something that we, I need this power source. I need God's Word. I need time with Him in prayer. I need that relationship with Him who gives me life. Do we want to be studying with our fellow believers on Sundays, on Wednesdays? Is that something we desire? Because our soul, our spirit says, I need the Son, the S-O-N, the Son of God. Or are we compromised in some way and not as desirous of the things of God that we should be? As we think about that and search ourselves to see what draws us, is it things of this life? Is it cares and concerns that cause worry of this life? Or as the things of the kingdom that came, the Word that came and was made flesh and pointed to us to the things that matter. We overemphasize things that don't matter and underestimate Jesus. He is what we need above all else. May we be drawn to whatever draws us closer to Him and in deeper communion with Him, with the true life and the true light that gives life and light eternal. And finally, as we strive to be in the light, to be in Christ, His light should then be reflected through us. Matthew 5 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is our goal? Is our personal goal to glorify God in heaven? That should be our chief and primary goal. To glorify and honor and worship and obey and draw close to and be more like Jesus. And if those things be, then it will be natural for us to then reflect that light that is within us. And to do good things, do good works, that those around us may see, and they not glorify us for for we are merely a vessel. We are merely a reflection of the love and the goodness and the glory of God. We are a mirror that shines His light to others, but that they may glorify God and they may know who He is. In a world filled with darkness, how blessed are we that we know this light. It's the most magnificent thing ever. And we know it. Do we treasure it? Do we strive to know it more? Do we strive to have a deeper relationship with God, with Jesus? Do we fall on our knees and thank Him? Thank you, God, for your revelation to me personally, that I can know you. And because I know you and know what you've done for me, I love you. And then because I love you, I will obey you and forsake all other things and serve you only. May we individually and collectively desire to be drawn to His light above anything else, so we can be changed and be a reflector of His love. Because there are many that still walk in darkness and walk without hope. We have the hope of the world. And we need to be His hands and His feet. May God bless His word. Let's sing from hymn 178, verses 1 and 3. I think every song today is 178, 1.
We have been richly, richly, richly blessed to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus today and to receive such wonderful teachings that will, as the light of Jesus, guide us as we go forward in this life. And let our hearts and our entire beings be glowing with this light, as we heard this morning, to reflect the truth and to bring light into this darkened world. That's the privilege and the opportunity that each of us has. Let's arise and close in prayer. O Jesus, our light and our treasure. O Father, you have sent Jesus into this world to be the light of life, to show us the way down a dark and perhaps sometimes dreary path, but you illuminate that path of life. It becomes a path of righteousness for your name's sake. And Father, we commit ourselves, Lord, to dwell in that light, to live in that light, to be that light as you've given it to us, and to reflect that light to all with whom we come into contact. And Father, it is such a precious privilege to be your child and to carry that light. Father, we pray for forgiveness where our light has become dull. We just ask, Father, that if that is the case, that you would fire the spark of devotion in our lives anew. And even symbolically, as we begin a new year, new opportunities, many people make new resolutions perhaps in life, but as a Christian, we don't need a new resolution, we just need dedication every day anew. And we just pray for that. So thankful for the word that has gone forth in this day with power and with clarity. And we just pray that wherever your word is preached and taught today, it could go forth similarly with such power and clarity that many hearts would be touched and lives changed for the sake of thy kingdom. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you for your sacrifice upon Calvary. We thank you for life. Father, we are now breaking for a lunch together, a time of fellowship, and we just pray for the time around our tables, that it could be uplifting and that it could be pleasing unto thee. And we pray that you would bless the food that we will partake of, that it will strengthen our bodies, and each one of us be strengthened to be your disciples upon this earth. Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.